the December 3rd, 2025 improvements meeting. I'm John Merchant. I'm here. Director Janko is here. Item 2 on the agenda is comments from the public. If anyone has a comment not related to items on the agenda, do we have any, Diane?
No.
Okay. Item 3 is the improvements staff report. Mr. Travis, please.
Yes, sir. We'll start off at the board meeting. Mr. Kyle got up and stated that he had a different plan versus adding a tank, and he said he would talk to us about it at today's improvements committee. So I put that first on our list, so if Mr. Kyle wants to get up and discuss this with the improvements committee, we can go from there.
Ready to go?
Okay. I put you first because you're the most important guy in the room right now.
Well, I appreciate that. And for the record, it's K-E-I-L, just so we...
Oh,
yeah. On straight.
I apologize, sir.
That's nothing to apologize for.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. So for the past couple of weeks, my engineer and our group have been looking at different ways that we can solve the capacity issue. I'm assuming it's fire, right, Joe? Is that the what we're most concerned about on the
for the tank?
Yeah.
Fire and just emergency in general. Really emergency stories.
So I received a letter last week, and I guess I need a little bit of history. Okay, so I get a letter from Enright a while back stating that I needed to pay for a tank, buy the land, but the tank would benefit the entire community, so there'd be some cost sharing and some future recovery. And
so I'm going to stop you right there. The letter specifically said that we needed to sit down and have a conversation about the sharing of the cost and the allocation of the cost. It didn't say you need to pay for a tank and you need to buy the land. It said we needed to sit down and talk about who share.
Okay, I disagree, but we'll move past that.
Well, I mean, words are words. But do you want me to read it again, Bob?
If you'd like to, yeah.
No, thank
you. No, it's there. We can read it.
Okay, my point is we've had it change drastically from that letter, which was not too long ago, to last month's improvements committee meeting, where we decided that this was a capital improvement project benefiting the community, and that we were going to... Amelia, I can't have you shaking your head. Is that not true? Did we? That's why you did the Nexus report, the Nexus study, was to pay to get our fair share of the tank. That's
okay.
Why the Nexus study was done. It's the reason why the Nexus study was done, was to figure out our share of the tank. That's so what I said was accurate.
Accurate.
So it morphed from the first letter. We had discussions. It came to, hey, let's pay our share through the impact fees. Then it morphed again when we got the impact fee report and had us paying for literally every capital improvement project for the next 5 years, including trucks and water studies and $15 million wells, and anything that could be put on our list was put on our list, whether it had anything to do with us or not. Then I was told, okay, forget that, that's wrong. We have more work to do on the Nexus study. Fine. Then the next day, I get a letter that says, we're not interested in putting in a tank, so you're going to have to, now it's, you're going to have to put in a tank, you're going to have to buy the land, you're going to have to pay 100% of it. Is that what the latest letter said? Would you agree, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in the matter of 30 days, we've been all over the map. We did agree at one point that the tank benefits the community. So, now it comes down to, we're talking about 130 lots. You can't balance a $7, $8, $3, $4 million tank on 130 lots, which is what you're asking me to do. I did some non-engineering calculations, Joe, so please forgive me, because if you have 800 people using the Rioso tank now, plus add my 68 phase one that would be dependent on Rioso. You've got a 1.5 million gallon tank, and you've got...
Where's the 1.5 million gallon tank?
Rioso.
1.2.
Okay, even better.
Okay. I don't know where you're going. Nope.
I appreciate it. It makes my math better.
That's fine.
Okay, 1.2 million gallon tank. So if you divide that by the 868, I used to get 1,700, but now let's call it 1,500. You're looking at 200,000 gallons to support 130 lots. So, due to that letter, you guys are saying go build a 230,000 gallon tank, and that would satisfy, you know, what you're asking me to do. Well, that makes no sense at all for me or for you. We've been looking at ways to reconnect to the Van Vleck tank. We've been looking at ways where we can use the Van Vleck tank with the booster system. But again, it would only benefit our subdivision. And it costs a good chunk of money. But that still leaves CSD having to deal with the valve and the communication and the rebuild of Rio Oso and the possibility of a future tank without any assistance from me or my 198 lots. What makes more sense would be to have our engineer and your engineer, who are really the only qualified people to discuss this. You don't have a director of operations. We have an interim GM. And those are the people that are making the decisions, not the engineers. What I would like to recommend is that we work together on the Rio Oso tank. We share costs on the valving and the communication. We share costs on the renovation. And we look at different alternatives to make that Rio Oso tank work for who it's working for now and for us. It's not feasible for us, for one, to go buy land, even if they would sell it, to get a tank, to build a tank. Like I said, balancing $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 million on 130 lots is not going to work. It's nothing that we would be able to do. Even if we wanted to do it, we couldn't do it. So what we're asking is, at our expense, of course, to have the engineers sit down and look at solutions as if the 561 will never happen, because there's a really good chance that it won't. So if that's the case, and we can work with what we have now, improve it, save the CSD a bunch of money from having for something they're going to have to do anyway, we'd like to look at alternatives with engineering instead of having different ideas tossed out every couple of weeks, and run some models and figure out some real solutions that make financial sense for both of us and that are actually feasible. So, and then to answer your question, John, about what is it, we did come up with a bunch of ways that we could lever the Van Vleck tank But by the time you put in the pumps and the generators and all of that stuff, it doesn't make sense to spend that much money just on our subdivision when we could leverage that money into doing something that would be beneficial for CSD and for us. Because otherwise, we're both spending a bunch of money. So we do have some solutions, none of which your engineer is really super excited about, because it doesn't solve some of the issues that need to be solved. So my request to the improvements committee is to allow our engineers to work together on a solution, cost sharing for valving, communications, and remodel of the Rio Oso tank, and see if we can make it work that way.
Couple of questions. First, have we done, at this point, have we done anything to evaluate the current status of Rio Oso?
Yeah, we had a company came out because they're trying to get our business to redo our tanks. They did a free in-depth study of the condition of Rio Oso without getting into the tank. And we've taken pictures. I submitted those reports 3 months ago, I think, to the improvements committee. And I have a copy on my desk. And the Rio Oso tank, their recommendation highly is a complete redo, rehab of it within 5 years, especially the inside of the tank. The ladder, that's inside is almost rusted. There's top pieces that when the tank was rehabbed in 2009 wasn't coated properly and it's rusting. So Rio Oso is in need of some love, and I can bring those reports back, or I mean I can send you copies or whatever. But
I mean I was just trying to understand if you know we at this point had reached a conclusion, like you just stipulated, that yeah, we have to rehab it, and yeah, we have to do it in 5 years at least.
Yeah,
what these folks had. And the other question for Bob, just to get to move forward here, and that number's moved, is use the number, the magic number 50 for a moment. I don't know if it's 52, 47, you know. But we're in agreement, I'm asking, not telling, that beyond 50 something has to happen. In other words, Joe's made a statement that, you know, at least now with the valving and maybe with some help from some alternate side of the street watering, we can keep ourselves moving to the first 50 houses. Do we agree, or we don't?
So what we would like, we've talked about it, we would like an actual calculation to find out what that real number is. Now that we have more information, I think at the time we were using 750, we're not using that anymore, we didn't have stagnant water, so I don't believe Joe's done an official assessment of how many houses that could be supported. Now, part of it is, what you're introducing later is the conservation. I know it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths when they say, well, by conservation, you're freeing up capacity in the tank. Why should the developer get to use it? Well, what we're saying is we're willing to pay for that capacity by helping with the revamp of the Rio Oso tank and the valving. So we are chipping in order to use that money. So if CSD feels that, hey, this will work and this saves us a bunch of money, then, hey, if the staggered watering that we're doing and that you're doing goes into the calculation for Joe, I don't know. Maybe it would support all 198. Who knows? But we would like to officially request to get a real number, because it's important, because we feel it's way more than the 50, because it was the, I think it was 58 or something, 52 was the original number, but that was done with way bigger numbers. So, again, we'd be happy to pay him for his time to calculate what the actual number is so we could have something to work with.
Okay, but I think we had, in fairness to you, I think we had a discussion that we were going to do this conservation no matter what.
Correct.
Okay, because, you know, that's this spring and you have three houses.
Right, and we won't have much of an impact for probably 2 years anyway. So I think it's really important to slow things down a little bit. I think we're, you know, I've never said this about CSD.
Is it going to be something nice this time?
Yeah, no, but I mean, typically CSD takes its time in making decisions, but what's been happening in our case for the last several months is that the decisions are being made fast and irrationally when we really need to settle down for a minute, have the people that know what the math, and put some real numbers together so we know what we're looking at so we can find a solution. Because right now we're just poking. So if we do have some real numbers that could be supported from Joe, and whether it's 30 or whether it's 200, whatever it is, there are other solutions than building a tank. And I think we just need to figure those out together. Because we can figure something out, and you guys could say no. So we need to do this together for the mutual benefit. And you know, I'm not saying our project won't benefit from it, because it will. But we want to be beneficial to the district as well. If we're going to use that tank and we're going to benefit from the valving, then we should pay for those things. If we're not going to use those things, then we shouldn't pay anything, and the district ends up paying a few million dollars. So that's what I'm asking. I want to take it out of the hands of people that shouldn't have it in their hands and put it into the hands of the people that should. Because my fear is that the board's going to adopt something that's drawn by staff and not by engineer.
As usual, I'm more confused because I guess that's my natural state. Joe, last time you were here, we talked about how many houses could be built under the new valving, and maybe I'm just losing it, but I thought you said 100. And then that was a surprise to me. And as I recall, I said, Joe, are you sure? And I'm pretty sure that your answer was yes. Where did that number go, and where did this 50 number come from?
Okay. Boy, I don't remember saying 100. I remember that...
Half. We talked about half of his
52,
house.
52, I think, was the number from that report that I did quite some time ago, and it was based on 750 gallon a minute, the standard average day flow, and then you have your peaking factors, and we did all the calcs based on that. And since that time, we've talked about conservation, we've talked about not having lawns in the residence Unit 1. I mean, that's where we were at that time. And not having lawns, to me, is okay, if that's enforceable, we're going to not have front lawns because we're going to see that. I don't know if we're going to be in everybody's backyards, and people who have decent-sized backyards like to have an area for kids to play, and usually it's a lawn. It could be a turf lawn. It could be a real lawn, and I'm not making those decisions. I need to make decisions based on criteria. How much of a reduction is that going to be? Well, there was no lawns at all and it was all desert landscape or something, I could have quite a large discount of that $750. But if it's just going to be front lawns, then, you know, it's going to be less. So what is the criteria going to be? But I do believe, just based on the discussions we've had and what I've seen so far on some of the new development, like retreats, you know, front lawns are not a desirable thing to have in the district. You're watering lawns that no one's going to play on. You've got, usually they're steeper in the front, so it can drain to the street, and they do, and there's a lot of water in the street. So providing a discount for that much of a reduction, not having those, there is a definite increase in the number of units. But I
that's a good argument.
Yeah, I mean, what I've
what
written
Bob
down,
is saying
yeah.
about getting together and deciding on something. The second thing I'm confused about is this latest letter you said you got. You received that when? Was it? Did you say the day after the board meeting?
Yes.
Have I seen that letter? Am I losing my losing it?
This is the one that John and Bill and I worked on with Patrick. That you said.
Yes, it was the day after the board meeting.
You seen that one?
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen it?
In closed session where we decided not to send it. The district is out of control. Just absolutely out of control. I don't even want to be a part of this. You people are running this district like you own it. And I'm totally disgusted with the whole how this not I'm not talking about where we're at on water, or whether or not we have enough water, or whether or not the tank has to be built, or any of that. I'm talking about the process that's going on and the policies that are being ignored by the board and the acting general manager. Something's got to change because this just isn't right. To your situation, Bob, I think it's a no-brainer. The two engineers ought to get together and figure out if there's a solution to it and what the solution is.
The only comment I would have that I would weigh both of these evaluations with is, you know, the comfort level of whatever you decide and how we completely prove that it works. Okay, I'm not the engineer. I don't have the problem with the engineers coming up with it. The only thing I can recognize and I can understand is, at least at this point, is that a tank is safe. Okay, that's as close as I can get to saying, you know, not being able to do all these calculations that everybody else is doing.
Yeah, and 5 million, two tanks would be even safer.
Yeah, four tanks would be too.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, there's a concrete structure there and it's got water in it. But, okay. You know, I don't have any problem with looking
so
at it.
So can we proceed, or does this have to be a board act?
I think it has to go to the board.
To me, this is just a procedure that makes sense that this committee ought to be able to authorize.
I think that we've all talked about it. So why not have Mike and Joe sit and talk about it too?
All right.
That sounds good. So we have something to actually present to the board.
Okay. All right. Well, then, so you want them to do it and then take that to the board?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
or the next improvement.
If I can speak again, I'd also like to include Travis and Corey, some of the people that operate system that have expressed their concerns, and I have numbers on tank sizes and what the valve can do based on different criteria, and we have to choose a criteria that is acceptable to everyone for these calculations, and my company has that ability to turn that around quickly because we've looked at it. There's a 2.5 million gallon tank that we've all been talking about for a while, and there's a reason why, because we calculated that based on some criteria, but that criteria needs to be looked at and approved. And if you would like engineers to do that, I would also like operations to be involved too. And I think we could come up with that. And hopefully everyone in this room would agree with our conclusions. The valve and how many it could serve was based on a criteria. If we change that criteria due to some conservation or no lawns, that number can go up. But we didn't put a concrete number to that. I think it would be closer to maybe unit one could be built. But the entire development, we've never said anything like that.
Right.
So, and whether we need a tank or not, we don't have enough emergency storage in the district. I mean, for the pressure zone in particular. If we lose the pipeline to Rio Oso or to another new tank, we need to be able to fix that. And in the middle of the summer, there's not enough emergency storage. That's what it's for. It's for an emergency like that. When someone knocked over a hydrant and the water spewed out, it would drain Rio Oso in how many hours?
Within a couple, 2-3 hours.
Yeah, it's like, if that's a little easier to fix than a broken line, you know. And I've come up with my own criteria that, you know, if something like that happens, how long do we need and what time of year are we going to be doing it and how much water would that be? And if we're talking about middle of summer, like that one week where it was 102 to 109 for 5 or 6 days, if it broke then, and we had to go out and fix it with the 14-inch supply line to Rio, so definitely there wouldn't be enough water. So,
regardless if we built ours or not.
Well, if you build yours, then we'd have to have some more.
Correct, but yes. Currently you don't have enough emergency water storage.
I think that has been made clear.
I don't think that has been made clear. That letter that was sent to us said it's our problem, not the district, that we're the only beneficiary.
Well, in a board meeting, I was asked that.
I agree with you. It's the staff that doesn't
agree. Emergency storage, and I said I believe not, and we need more storage in the system. So to say we're going to revamp Rio Oso and let you can make it grow, then my input's not going to be helpful because I'm saying we need more emergency storage in the system. And Rio Oso is not going to get bigger. So just leave it at that for my input and the fact that I think we could calculate it again quickly. And what the criteria is, I can put together a list of criteria that we'd use and a list of questions to what do you think about this level of protection, you know, level of risk. If you want to reduce that criteria and get a smaller tank, then, you know, there's reasons to do that. We have two treatment plants. You know, if one goes down, you know, the other one can take over. You won't get as much water out of the smaller one, but, you know, you can get water to people. So maybe that value that I'm talking about for emergency storage. Maybe I'm more conservative than the group wants to be, but it's still going to be a pretty large number. So that's what I would like to make clear from an engineering perspective is we can figure this out pretty fast. You know, how big the tank is, or can we put a booster station only for residents, and is that going to even work? Those kind of engineering discussions and technical analysis are not that complex. And we could go over it right now and come up with something pretty close, but I'd rather, yes, that we formally do that work and submit something. That would be nice.
So the reason why we're here right now and having this discussion is because of that letter. So if that letter, so we had previously, where we're going later with the whole optics of the tank and the location and all of that stuff, that was in full motion, and we were going to be paying a portion of that tank. That was the avenue that we were on, because everybody seemed to agree last time that that tank benefits the district, not just us, and that we would be paying, that it was a capital improvement project that we would be paying a share of through the impact fees. I thought that was 100% decided, and that's why at the last meeting, improvements meeting, you asked Joe to, you know, to look at that stuff. We started talking about the percentage of cost share, and then literally overnight it changed. If it hadn't changed and I hadn't got that letter, we would still be following the same course of building another tank and having us pay a portion of it. That's where we were at the last board meeting until that letter was issued.
Can I ask a question? What discussion would we be having now about emergency storage and the impact of Rio Oso in its present condition? If they weren't here, what discussion would we be having? Is the question clear? Am I?
Oh, I understand what you're asking.
Okay.
So, if I understand correctly what you're asking, if Bob Kyle's project did not exist, okay, since we had the fire hydrant break several years ago, the frontline discussion that has been talked is emergency storage. And the lack of that we have. And it was briefly talked about, but no other further discussion of, hey, we need to build another tank. How are we going to get more emergency storage in that area? I don't know what discussions you might have had with either Michael at that time or Eric. But with the need for emergency storage, eventually we would have to, in my opinion, do something. Have a different source to that could provide water, or, you know, something that if a pipe broke, hey, we can turn this tank on to give us X amount of time to be able to meet. Because like when we ran out of water out of Rio Oso, we had to send out an emergency notice. Hey, stop using water. The thing's broke. The tank's empty and the pumps, you know, we turn the pumps off.
So then for either or both of you, if we came up with a solution, the engineers came up with a solution that is devoid of tank, do we still have the same problem? In other words, okay, we figure out a way that you guys are going to get your...
The answer is yes. You still have the problem, which is the point that we're trying to make, is that...
Well, maybe...
This is a district problem that we would like to help with. What the district has done is said, okay, Bob, solve the district's problem at your expense. That already exists. There's already a problem that exists.
I think what's confusing is the last time we talked in the meeting that you and I were in...
Yep.
We were talking along the lines of it was still a tank and you still had responsibility, was it not? I mean, I
missed what you said there.
We posed a question similar to what I just asked, that if you weren't here, okay,
right,
would we still need a tank?
And the answer is yes.
And the answer is yes. It is yes. That's first yes of that kind that I've heard.
Yep.
The other yes is that, yeah, we would, if you weren't here, we wouldn't need one. But then again, maybe it looks like we do. Not maybe. It sounds like
to meet daily demand without Bob Kyle's here, no, we won't need a tank. That's just to keep up currently meeting daily demand. I've always been on a no for that. Because, I mean, we've been doing it for that 800 homes since I've been here, before. So we know that we don't need for clarification, to meet current daily demands, no, we don't need another tank. If we need to, if the district has to, by either state law or something with the, if you know, that we have to have more storage, then yeah, we're going to. I just want to make that clear. When you said this is the first yes, I just want to make myself clear.
No,
storage,
and
yes. Daily demand without Mr. Kyle, no.
So the answer is, could we provide daily demand without a tank? Probably. Engineering-wise, we could probably come up with a booster deal with Vandalak. But it doesn't solve the emergency storage issue. So why spend millions of dollars on a booster system that only solves a small 130-home problem? Why not put that money into a bigger pot and solve the district's problem? That's what I'm trying to say. It makes dollars and cents, redundancy and emergency storage, it makes CSD better. Why not have us help pay for that? This is what I'm saying. You guys are going to have to do it eventually. If you want to do it without me, that's fine, and we'll spend our money over here. But why wouldn't we engineer a solution that solves more than one problem?
So aren't we back to another tank?
Possibly, yeah. But that we still need to know how many homes Rio Oso can support. Because we have an interim problem. Right? We need to get from here to a tank, if there's a tank.
But your interim problem, and again, I don't know what the number is, 50 or 100 or 76 or whatever the number is.
Right.
What's the time frame on the interim number? You said you got three houses and 2 years from now you're doing this. Where are we? And I don't know how long it takes to build a tank, approve a tank, pay for a tank. What's the timeline?
Yeah, that's not my expertise.
Okay. It's not mine either.
Go ahead, Corey, if you have something to say. Currently, Water Code Section 512 states all we need is storage for enough for demand. And we have adequate right now for CSD to continue. For fire flows and that, there is changing storage requirements coming in California for us, but those limits and guidelines have not been set yet at this time. So eventually CSD will have to put a tank in probably for expanding storage, as especially as homes expand in the community. But at this time we do not have it for the water.
Last question. You mentioned that the mayor may not be built on the 560 houses, which obviously has a tremendous impact on everything we do going forward. Do you know something I don't know?
I know I have a board that doesn't want it to happen. And so as long as that board...
No, I'm not going to use the word. That's not me speaking. It never has been.
Okay. The current climate is not pushing that project. I don't know how to say it more politely. So as long as there are impediments in the way of 561, then in my mind, it's not going to happen. In order for 561 to happen, everybody would have to be on board with why CSD was created in the first place, which was to support the master plan. And then CSD. The only reason CSD is here was to provide infrastructure and maintenance for development of the master plan. So,
you don't think that they have any responsibility to the existing population and ratepayers?
I think CSD does, and what have they done for the existing ratepayers? Have they gone out and tried to find water? Has CSD done that without being pushed by development? No.
Well,
if you took
the status quo, Bob, on where we are today, the water supports the community.
That's not true.
We certainly have turned around on that.
Yeah. Well, it's because
you're wrong.
Not true.
We need resiliency.
Every meeting you say we need resiliency.
This
community needs 3,000 cubic acres.
Without more development.
Yes. Without more development. So where does that come from?
What have you done in the last 20 years for emergency storage?
Okay.
Without
that's the first time hearing on a tank.
We've talked about this for the last year, John.
If
in this committee,
I think
Joe brought this at least a year ago.
I think when you look at it from the standpoint of emergency storage, even if you don't have a need to support his development with it, then if he's saying we need it and he's saying we don't need it now, what is it we need? Nobody tell me.
So that's been the position of CSD forever. If we don't need it today, let's not plan it and pay for it. We'll just kick it down the road for another 15 years. Just what's going to happen with the Ryoso tank? In 5 years, someone's going to say, hey, the Ryoso tank is completely destroyed. We should have fixed it 5 years ago. I mean, that's the way this thing goes. And so by saying that attitude that you have right now, we just had an emergency where somebody hit a fire hydrant and we had to shut water down. If that doesn't throw up a red flag that you need more emergency storage, what does? That has nothing to do with development. This board has been negligent in supporting its existing people. There is no backup water supply. There is no emergency storage. The facilities are run down. This is not a new problem that we, just because we're doing new development, all of a sudden, oh, hey, look, we're in a big deficit. Let's throw it all on the developer's plate. That's not how it works. You can't bankrupt us because you guys are bankrupt. That's not fair. And so that letter, is that letter valid or not that we were given on Wednesday? Am I being held to that letter?
I don't know.
If you don't know, who does?
We've been going round and round with this for, a year?
We've been going round and round because every time there's a decision made, I get something new. I have 3 acceptance letters. I've got multiple letters from Joe on, I'm having my improvement plan stalled. And then I get, John, This has been a chasing of the tail, and we're here at these meetings and every board meeting because the rules change, the direction changes every single time something comes to me in the mail.
So then, would you prefer to pursue a solution with a tank or without one?
I would like to look at the options. Personally, I thought we were on the right track with the tank and with us paying a share of it through the impact fees. I thought we were on the right track. Until I got a list of what our new impact fees were going to be, $30,000, and that we were paying for everything under the sun. Now, that I don't like.
Didn't your partner bring us a whole host of...
You have to justify the numbers.
I agree with that. And that didn't get voted on, and that didn't get... Those fees have not become reality. It was your partner that said to us, my God, you guys, you know, at $13,000, what the hell? And he hands us four or five competitive sets of pricing where everybody is two and a half times.
But John, with the Nexus report, when you do that study, there are rules.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. I went and looked.
It has to have significant impact from our development in order to be an impact fee on our project. 90% of the things that were attached have nothing to do with our project. So my point is, we are willing to pay our fair share of a new tank through impact fees, through a CIP project. I thought that was a done deal. That's what his direction was for this meeting, was to come back with views so we could pick a tank. We're working through the Nexus study to figure out what accurate fees would be. I thought we were on a course until that came. So you tell me, which is it? We'd like to look and see what it would look like with a new tank and what the expectations for our share would be. If they're unreasonable, then we'd go to the drawing board and try to find something without a tank. It makes more sense to have a solution that benefits the whole district, which is the tank.
With new homes, a tank should be required because of the fire flows and the fire sprinklers required in all new homes. That isn't in most of CSD's existing community. Due to the regulations that changed in California requiring all new homes to be built with fire sprinklers. So you typically need more storage, and that's why it's going to be changed for CSD to require more storage eventually as we get more connections and more homes with fire sprinklers.
So, and I'm not even aware of, is that requirement, are there sprinklers in the homes in the retreats?
Oh, I don't know about the retreats.
I don't know either.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Okay. So,
but I will tell you, John, this has been physically and emotionally punishing going through this freaking nightmare.
That I agree with.
It has been, we have moved ahead with filling out every form and paying every fee, and this isn't right. The way we're being treated is not right. We need a path. We need somebody to not make knee-jerk reactions on a weekly basis to change the rules. We've got a lot of people with opinions, but we need to deal with the professionals. And if we don't like our share, then we'll go through the proper channels to do that. There are the Mitigation Act for the Nexus study. We have a course to go through to appeal the district's strategy, right? So there are ways that we can push back if we don't like the way that the fee structures are done. But the way that Nexus study was done and produced is embarrassing. It wasn't checked. It's awful. to even put that in front of us, or to even not include us in the draft before it's thrown out into public. We should be involved in every discussion along the way. This whole, you guys invent it, throw it in our lap, and then we have to scramble, it costs us, we've got our engineers running sideways trying to figure out alternate ways that the last 2 weeks that Mike shouldn't even have had it done. I mean, it's cost us thousands and thousands of dollars just to try to comply with that stinking paper, which is going to be a problem if it was in closed session and sent without permission. That's going to be a problem, John. And it's going to be attached to all the problems that have been going along this way.
So there's two things on the table here. One is to do an engineering analysis without a tank, and the other is to move forward with a tank. I'm picking up from your conversation that you would, and this would be my preference, that we build a tank.
If you hold me to that letter over there, where we're 100% responsible for building a tank, there's going to be issues. Because we're not going to do it.
Well,
so if we're being held to that, then we're at a loggerhead. Because it's not legal, for one. And for two, whoever approved sending that letter when your staff already knows that emergency storage, you've known for years because of the fire hydrant incident. When you look at the Nexus report and everything that's being piled on our plate to pay, and you look at that, it looks like the district is trying to work us. And you're putting it all in writing. You are teeing the district up. We are not hitting it off the tee, because it doesn't do anybody any good. We're trying to get to solutions and get things done. We can't keep chasing our tail. And we're not going to pay more than our fair share, but we will pay our fair share. So, you know, this whole thing, without a director of operations and without a general manager, and having, you know, fine, upstanding people, but not professionals in the water thing making decisions, is, it looks really, really bad from the district.
Right. Did you, per California standards, we don't have to have another tank online until about 2040, probably. We have to measure and reduce our efficiency and correct our efficiencies ongoing. And California is requiring us to do so as we put out more connections, and as we hit over the 3,000 mark, we will then be obligated to abide by a 2040 deadline. So until that time, at this time, we can actually work to further efficient our system and correct the problems within our system. Our storage would more than likely be sufficient in the way it stands. So it's one of the things that you require an FCCSD to require and need a new tank at this time. From what I've seen from the numbers and what's flowing right now per demands and requirements of California law, there is no tank needed per CSD at this time.
As long as there's not an emergency.
Even with an emergency at this time.
Okay. There you have it. So then what it will do is we'll figure out with efficiencies and conservation
Hold on a second. We don't know our deficiencies. So I'm going to have to disagree with that statement on the record. We don't know our deficiencies. We don't have the current stuff in place. We will when we get the meters in, and we're able to look at our data in real time. In my opinion, nobody can accurately say if we fix our deficiencies, we're not going to need something. So, because we don't 100% know our deficiencies. So
this is kind of where I'm going. This is a microcosm of what's been going on for since 2019.
That's why I wanted to bring this up right now.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
One guy says one thing, and then they run with it. Boom. Corey says this. Boom. Next thing, oh, Travis says, oh. And then Eric says this, and then he's gone. And then you've got We're chasing our tail. We are chasing our tail.
So, time, guys.
Sorry.
So I'm looking for the option. Is the option to do first both? Is the option to do both?
The first thing is that letter legitimate?
No.
Right now, if that letter is legitimate, we've got one problem. If that letter is not legitimate, then we have other ways to look at things.
Go ahead.
Travis was misunderstanding my comment, thinking we had enough storage for your system and CSD's current to you to build out.
That's not what I heard.
Exactly.
Okay, I apologize, then I misunderstood where he was going with that. I'm sorry.
We understand our issues, and we're working on our issues within CSD for our system. But the tanks and the capacities we have in CSD at this current time are sufficient for the residents of CSD.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, so then are we you know, if we, you know, a couple of sentences ago had an agreement that regardless of who pays what in its completion, that we would opt for the tank versus a sophisticated.
You still haven't answered my question. So now I can't get by into any of that until I know if that's valid.
If we built a tank and your argument was that we were going to negotiate what part of it is yours, I mean there's an agreement from 1990 that's been a policy here that resulted from the acquisition and services agreement that said, you know, development pays for development, growth pays for growth. That's what 90-1 says.
That's so if you want us to engineer a solution on our own property, then we will. It won't benefit the district, it won't make Joe happy, and it'll cost you and us way more money. If that's the way you'd like to go, then we can go that way. But as of right now, I'm required to build a tank. So, I need to know if that's legitimate or not, John.
Joe wrote it. I'm not Joe.
No.
Patrick wrote it.
Patrick didn't write the letter that he's talking about. That was the letter about the tank discussion. So I say that until further notice, that letter is not valid or accurate, that we have to have a lot more discussion and looking at it and working on the developer fee study and working on how much water we actually need and what our emergency supply is. This is new information that we don't have to have a third for fire, a third for emergency.
That's new information that's not verified, okay?
Oh, okay.
So be careful what you believe.
So let's go back to the drawing board. Tomorrow's a good day.
So when these decisions are made in a vacuum without us, it's not helpful. It could, yeah. Okay.
Three comments. Even if the law says that we don't need all that emergency storage, if Joe says we do, to me, in my mind, that overrides whatever. Okay, and I think Joe's pretty much solid on that. We don't have enough emergency storage.
That's what I've heard.
Bob, I disagree with your take on the infrastructure study. It's a draft. It was the first time I saw it. We discussed it for how many hours at that board meeting, and we decided to put it off because we weren't happy with it. Okay, so you saw it at the same time we saw it. We're working on it. When we're done with it, it will be correct. Right. Or as correct as we can make it, the board will agree that it's correct. Right now, it's still a draft, so there's nothing to argue about there.
Right.
The third,
it was up for a vote.
The third.
It was up for a vote.
I haven't seen the new draft.
No, we haven't seen the new draft. The vote, Bob, was to introduce the ordinance, which is just the first procedure in changing any kind of a fee. So before it can actually become reality, we have to have the first reading of the ordinance, which is what we did, and the board gave us direction where they wanted to go. I plan on showing a new draft next Thursday at the Finance Committee meeting.
Without input from the developer?
I will, and at which point Finance will see it, you'll see it, we'll have room for input, and then hopefully, if there's not, hopefully...
But see... What are you doing about the tank? See, that's what
Bob,
I'm saying.
It'll be fully vetted.
But can we have input in the draft?
Yeah.
Stand up there and tell us where it's wrong, and we'll agree with you or disagree with you.
It
will be what it's going to be. And the board by... a vote will decide whether or not the final product is approved or not. That's the process. You can have as much input as you want and talk about it, the same as I have, but in the end, if the board approves whatever the board approves, that's going to be
it. So in relation to the tank, what are we doing in the Nexus study?
Revising that number. And we're also taking a deeper look at the wells and the potential cost of wells. It's not a secret. I don't think that anybody will dispute. We need more water. The community needs to have a secondary supply of water. We all need more water. And because that will benefit the whole community, we have to start putting money away for more water and finding more water, whatever it is. Maybe there's, I don't know. And that's going to be a lot of money. So we're all going to have to share that cost, the current residents and the new development.
And the last point that I wanted to make is what I agree with you on is that this board is way too involved in this. A lot of what we're talking about, and we spend a lot of time on, and sending out letters on and whatnot should be left to staff. And we should approve or disapprove what staff does. But right now, the board is in way over its head and it's drowning.
So are we leaving this without consideration of these two studies that we talked about, or the tank versus the expanded study?
I think you've given us permission to work with Joe, and I think that the one calculation he's going to come up with is how many existing or homes can the existing system with valving and communication and conservation support.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, we'll weigh the options of on-site water delivery, because if we're not going to be held to the emergency storage, if you guys aren't being held to emergency storage, I don't know why we would be held to emergency storage. So we'd have to look at our daily, what'd you call it, Corey, the daily use? Daily use?
Daily demand.
Demand, thank you. We look at our daily demand and see what we can do to meet our daily demand.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
Moving.
Thank you.
All right.
We have comments.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeff?
Jeff Pearson from Rajon North. We, in October, had a Bob Kyle meeting where we all sat here. And everybody, a lot of the people here in this room were involved in that meeting. And the very, very first thing that was agreed to at that meeting was that the tanks were a capital improvement project. I think Bob started the meeting with that and everybody agreed. And I don't know anything about this letter that Bob got, but that seems to be a complete departure from where we ended up at that meeting in October. We talked about two tanks. We talked about one probably being required for the 198 and possibly a future village, and then another tank for the north. And we talked about locations. We talked about several different locations for these tanks. At the subsequent board meeting, or two, we presented engineering on suitable locations for all of these tanks. So it seems to me that we were really had already decided on a course of action for what needed to happen. And, you know, again, just my only comment about his letter, never having seen it, is it seems like it's a complete departure from the direction that we were headed. And it seems to me that this board is on record countless times, as far as I can remember, about the necessity of deficiencies in emergency water supplies. So regardless of what Corey says about what is required, may or may not be required, you know, if you have to stand up in front of a judge and say, well, we didn't do it because of this thing that this guy said at this meeting, I don't think you win that. I think that it's common knowledge that there's a necessity for this kind of a thing. And it seems to me, again, that rather than the community bearing the burden for a supply that seems to be needed, development community seems to be here, ready, willing, and able to, if I'm getting this right, Bob, contribute. Pay the fair share. And the district and the board, maybe not this board, but has really, really done well at kicking the can down the road. From my studies, since 1997, 2014, they knew that they needed additional water supply and storage. And that thing just got moved. Resources were expended. Time was spent, years in some cases, to develop these things, and yet it never got done. And here we are at the table again. And it seemed like we had path and solution. And I'm confused at how we got off that path and solution. It doesn't make sense to me. But I didn't get the letter, see the letter, understand where it came from.
It's not valid anymore.
I get that.
Wait, one at a time here. Go ahead.
And it may not be valid, but the procedure by which that letter was sent doesn't make sense to me. You know, it's different than the path that we were all on collectively. From the meetings that we've all had, the improvements committee meetings, board meeting, the Bob Kyle meeting. So that's where my confusion lied, and it just seems like hopefully the ship seems to be righting itself a little bit and gets back on the path, but we need to decide these things collectively rather than stovepiped. It just seems like that's where we were.
One comment, and sure. I think it's relevant, from the two, starting in 2006, there were two conclusions from two separate integrated water master plans, 2006 and 2010. One was we were fine, but we should find 300 acre feet of water just in case. And the other one said we were fine and we should find 600 acre feet just in case. But that's as far as that went. We're now at a point where, you know, 15 years later, we're arriving at a number that is much more significant than what those reports pointed out. So that's just...
Well, in 2012, you commissioned a study, and I think that there was grant money involved with the commissioning of that study that lasted more than 2 years. And you guys got all the way down the road to bid. I mean, you had electromagnetic studies done. You had wells identified. Yeah, you did.
No, I wasn't here. I don't.
Yeah, it's all there. The records are all there. you killed the project in 2015 or 16. I can't really reconcile when it was exactly. But you get all the way down to the finish line. Studies were done, presentations were made, consultants were hired. The thing almost went out. The thing went out to bid. And it got killed. I can't figure out why or how it got killed, but y'all have been here before, to this very place.
Okay. Next.
Ms. Gell. This is in regards to Amelia's letter, which supposedly isn't valid anymore. Randy said you did see it in executive session. Well, my concern is that there are only various reasons you can issues you can discuss in closed session. And setting developer policy is not one of those things. It's not one of those exceptions. So I'm wondering why you're discussing setting a requirement for a developer to build or not build a new tank in closed session. In my mind, that's a violation of Brown Act.
I think that's a question for Patrick.
Yes.
And it will be asked. Absolutely will be asked.
More?
That is it.
Okay. Item B, emergency update, emergency construction, lift station 6B.
Yeah. TNT is continuing to uncover the 10-inch pipe. We have located the end of the 10-inch pipe at the Yellow Bridge. We've also located the 12-inch force main from Main Lift North to the water plant that we're going to end up tapping into on that side. We are currently, correct me if I'm wrong, we're currently getting ready to order the parts that we were waiting on bids because the cost is substantial, so we were getting multiple bids on the cost of the parts. They do have some lead time. Some of them are five to 8 weeks. Yeah, and so we're currently working on the other side over by 6B to continue to expose that 10-inch pipe as to where we're going to be able to cut into it to make the connection there. So we're currently working on that. We were kind of hindered because it was extremely wet over there, and so they TNT got back to working on that yesterday, and they're currently working on that. Some of the things too on the 4-inch mainline, Corey found some ARVs, and yesterday they were buried, and they were able to open the one on the 4-inch line, and it did release a little bit of air. And when we did run the pumps, the check valves opened up a little bit more, so we might have got ourselves a little bit more flow out of the 4-inch. We won't know if we have another rain event. But we're currently moving forward with getting set up to, because we're going to have to do a bypass on the on the line from Main Lift North when we do go to do the repair. And we're going to be doing the work at night when the flows are at its lowest. So we're in the process of getting all of that scheduled, because we're giving ourselves about 10 hours to actually do the work when we get all the parts. We're putting the bypass in, which will serve dual purposes. One, it will help us with this job, so that way we won't have to turn off the pumps at Main Lift North and run pumper trucks. But also, it will serve us in the future if we have an issue with the sewer line on the Yellow Bridge, like we had with the recycled water pipe several months ago. So the taps that they put in will remain there They'll be capped off like the current ones on the recycle line, just in case we have a problem on that pipe on the Yellow Bridge, which has always been a conversation of one of our main hazards. So that's going to serve a dual purpose. We're just moving forward. The thought was that we would be able to get this done fairly quickly. Obviously, that has changed with the knowledge now that parts are not readily available. Mm-hmm. And so we are running on our current 4-inch line right now. We seem to be doing fine. You know, if we have a huge rain event, that'll tell us. But as it sits right now, our pumping numbers, you know, for daily demand going into that lift station is pretty much where they were before we had the last event. So we're moving forward on that.
Okay.
All right. Do you have anything to add to that? No. Okay. Shall I continue, or was there questions?
Well, item C is the storage tank placement options, rough rendering, right, the new estimated cost.
So, previous conversations, we had one meeting with Joe and, sorry, I keep forgetting this name, the developer's engineer, and we talked. Pardon me?
Mike.
Thank you. Sorry, Mike. And in that meeting, it was discussed, hey, let's, Joe was going to do up some renderings. They did do some, and they sent it to me. I got that, and then Mr. Kyle at the board meeting said, hey, we've got a potential idea, we don't need a tank. So I didn't want to waste any more time or money on that if it wasn't going to be needed. I do have the rendering, that Joe had sent out, and I can send it it's actually right there. Okay, great. I didn't know if it was put in the packet. I can send that over to the developers, so that way they have at least an idea of what Joe had brought up at this point, and then, you know, for the further discussions.
Okay. You want to show the there's the pictures of what it looks
like. We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's down here a little bit.
Okay.
I think so, is it?
Yes.
Was it on the question center, conservation?
I'm hoping.
No, actually that is with your, I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. So
show the pictures.
Yeah, and then we have the pictures of what would look like with the tanks.
Photo 5 is from my backyard. How did you get into my backyard?
sure, that's something I'm not really going to tell you about, just in case I need it again.
And the rendering, the tank looks bigger than what I thought. Is this pretty accurate as to what this would...
We scaled it.
How big it would be?
Yeah, we scaled it, and... That first slide was to show how much space we need for the tank and a booster station. And a booster station can move around the tank, you know, in any direction. So we showed two views. And then with those dimensions, we created this rendering. And it's a concrete tank, gray concrete. We're not painting trees on it at this point. We want to see what it looks like. Start painting tanks, then you got to repaint them, and it'd be nice not to have to, but if that is a requirement, that's fine. But we just wanted to see what a concrete tank would look like from these different locations across the lake, because those are the locations where people can see across the lake where the tank number 4 location is. And so we went out and took photos. I don't know if we got in someone's backyard, but close to that. As close as we can comfortably get.
I was joking. There's a path between
There is, yeah. The path is what we use.
But thanks for the sandwich, though. Appreciate it.
My dog didn't bite you, did he?
So there's a slide that shows where those were taken. It might be on the end of this. Yes. So those red lines, if people can see them, I think everybody should see where those are. Those yellow markers are where the photos were taken from. So we wanted to get it all along the path there, all the way around the lake and over even to the further to the north. And are they, I think they're in order, one through five, so. So we're going, they're not all just in order as you go around the lake. I think photo one is up to the north. And then photo two and three are in the middle. And then zero five. Well, I better go back and get another one over there. So we've got one in at four, but the fifth one is definitely the south. And I'm hoping that we can zoom in on those photos.
You want this one?
Well, I want to go to the first one.
The first photo?
Yeah. Now, that... Okay, you're scrolling. Okay, good.
Okay. So where's the tank? I can't see it at all.
Oh, that's the good news.
That's.
I mean, okay. I'm not missing it then. You can't see the darn thing.
Well, in this one you can't.
Backyard, you can't see it from any of these other.
Yeah. There's hills and trees in the way.
We saved that specifically for Director Jenko to enjoy.
But you can zoom in and
trees
you, can,
on that
you start to see. If you zoom in on it, Diane, can you, on that photo, can you zoom in?
I don't think you can get any closer. I'm looking at it on mine today. What? Oh, there she is.
Okay.
Where is it?
So it's still not seen from that one vantage point, which was from the north. This is just to show that tank is behind a hill.
Okay.
So that's good.
For everybody except for Andy.
Well, let's go to the next
we'll
one.
We'll get to that.
Let me go to the next one. So this is heading around the lake a little further, towards the middle. And
so this little structure here, is that the water treatment plant? What is that?
That's just the dock.
Dock.
But that's the road to the water treatment plant.
Okay.
You know, if you keep going further south. If you zoom in on this one, you might see a little bit through the trees, but this is pretty zoomed in.
Let me
see. So again, we're not seeing the tank because we have hills and trees, pretty thick trees. It's going to be in that direction right there. So far we're not seeing the tank, which is great. But, you know, we move to the next photo.
I don't see the tank at all.
There it is.
And you're going to see a tank here. So... You know, if you zoom in, you just see more of the tank. But if you, and this tank is a 30-foot high tank, and we've talked about, of course, we can drop it 10 feet, and you'll see less, you know, bury it partially, and
or you can just put some tree down.
Those are pretty tall trees there now. You know, I mean, they're 20 feet high, you know, some of them, that are right there at the tank. So,
it blooms nice.
And we can, you can, like I said, when you paint it, it's okay. It's not, if you paint it with proper paint, it'll last a long time. So, let's go to the next one. Now we're getting further. I think you went back up to the north.
No,
this is the fourth, that was quarter forward. That was moved the other direction.
Yeah, we went back up.
Yeah.
It wasn't all going around the lake.
Yep.
This one you're not going to see much tank either. So I think we get to the last one.
There it is.
And you can start seeing the tank again. Now, and there it is. If you back off on it, not zoom in so much, when you're actually back at the path, is that completely out? You're pretty close now, yeah. Okay, so let's just look at it from the person taking the picture. This is what they see. And when I say let's zoom in on it, then you're getting closer and closer. You're riding a boat across the lake, you know, but that's the visual, and it's the scale. With a 30-foot high tank at the tank 4 location. And, you know, if you want to paint it green, you can paint it green. And I think you wouldn't notice it. But it's there. And most of those trees are still going to be there. We tried to crop some out that would be at the location of the tank and just leave the ones that are in the forefront. So that's, like, it's really going to be pretty accurate on what you're going to see. So that's what we were asked to do. And you know, we certainly can drop it some. It'll cost a little more to bury it 10 feet. And then you won't see that much. It'll be significantly less because it's a third of the tank. If you drop 10 feet, maybe we drop it 5 feet. I don't know what people are going to want to do. Again, there's criteria that we can do whatever. We can engineer it, but we need to know, we have to engineer it so that they can't see it at all. Or is this okay? Or painters are okay? Those are the kind of things we need feedback from everybody, because as engineers, we're like, you know, please everybody. So that's the decision we curse. So
I don't know, as an engineer I try and please everybody. I don't know what you're talking about. How does that work for you?
Same well, you just coincidentally happened to hit, right?
Is it the
right
same
on my house? How
same,
did you do this?
Same cost to paint an international orange.
How often do you sit in your backyard?
Every day.
On your patio?
Every day.
Oh, okay.
I just, you know, I'm sure my neighbors might disagree, but I believe that if you dropped it down 10 feet and painted it green, you'd be fine. Now the problem is you go to do a study on putting it there. They might find a bald eagle's nest in that one tree up there at the top of that mound, because he comes back every year.
Well.
He's, yeah, I'm trying to get, he's in that big, I mean, the tree stands out. I don't know if you can get
there.
If you can get to it.
That's the tree on the mound above the dock.
Yeah, he's over there.
Over that way?
Yeah. It's
pretty. To the left, then, of the tank location.
Yeah.
There's going to be a perimeter on something like that. I mean, I've seen it even in campgrounds where there's a bald eagle nesting.
Before you go any further with your preliminary designs, you ought to research that a little bit and figure out what that perimeter is and make sure that we're outside of it.
Okay. So the question was, what's it going to look like here versus what it would look like further down in the that hole behind the hills. that was we call 4B that no one's going to see. You know, of course, no one's going to see that. But then you have
pressure problems.
Well, we talked about it's going to cost more to pump from there because to get the water to the tank from our treatment plant pumps, we're going to have to fill some head to get it down there into that tank while we're trying to supply the other tanks too. You know, we'll just all want to go there and fill it up, and then the other tanks aren't getting water at that time. So, we don't want a big pressure line going into this tank in a hole, so we kill the head at the control valve in there, and the altitude valve that shuts it off. I mean, that whole process wastes some energy because now we have to pump from that elevation down 50 feet lower up to the folks we're serving. And we did a calculation on that, which isn't a simple. There's time of day fees, you know, rates, and there's time of year rates, and then we're pumping all the time, of course. So coming up with a weighted average over the course of a year and so many gallons to pump, we're getting between $14,000 and $19,000 a year of added pumping costs. So that we were asked to do that too, right, in the last meeting. So that's the number, or the range of number, depending on how much water we're pumping that year. But it's based on our estimates of the averages we're getting with our calculations on how to size the tank. And that's all I have for now. And we have provided a template for a tank that can go anywhere. And in our discussions with Mike and other folks who have property that want to know what it's going to look like, that's available now too. So we're sort of at a stopping point until we find a place to put this tank. Or now it sounds like we're looking at some other options to the tank, or how big the tank might want to be based on, again, the level of service, the level of protection we want with emergency storage, or if we need it at all. You know, I have my professional opinions, and I've given it to a board meeting director Pohl, when he asked me that, probably a year ago or more. It was a long time ago. So I'm on record saying, yes, you need more emergency storage out here, just based on things that have occurred, like fire hydrants and those curves of Rio Oso fluctuating the way it did during that week of very hot weather. And I don't think I'm going to waver from that emergency storage and more storage is required in the system, in the pressure zone. And then when we get the A, B, and C villages being built, we're going to need more storage. It's not, based on our calculations, a lot more storage, because this storage we put up here can actually serve those zones too, and even the gravity zone, if there's an emergency in the gravity zone, but we can't go the other way. We can't take Van Vleck and get it up into the pressure zone if we lose that pipeline I was talking about that serves that area. Unless we put in some really, really big pump station somewhere, which doesn't make any sense. So that's my tank spiel. for today if anybody has a question. Comments?
This is pretty cool. Good job, Joe. Yeah,
go for it.
Thank you.
No. Travis?
Shall we move forward? Item D, the Equestrian Center Stormwater Channel Repair. Joe was tasked with doing the engineering on the channel repair. And I think you're here today to talk about permits, drawings and stuff. Do you know anything about that? Can we talk about that?
We're pulling this item from the agenda.
Then we're pulling the item from the agenda. Never mind.
I'm ready to talk, but
I'm ready not to talk. Are you happy full permits?
No, no. That was just some of the...
Okay.
Our task was to see what permits we might need.
Okay.
That was this first phase.
Okay. All right. 2026 conservation plan to support new valve implementation. Last month, you requested just a preliminary idea of what we would do for to support water conservation. One of the things that I did send to Amelia was a proposed water shortage contingency plan that was...
That was actually adopted in 2012, the water shortage contingency plan by the board.
We have that, but then we also have... I did some research on what we have available. We also have the other watering schedule that we used 2000 when we had that thing. I don't remember.
2020.
No. We had this was back when Dave Herman was here when we were having that shortage and we went to alternate watering days. I would tweak that a little bit if we wanted to go with that because I wasn't 100% happy with that, but alternating days would...
Like we did when we were building the water plant?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we would just kind of tweak it a little bit because last time the way they did it was a little bit hard to understand. But that would probably be the direction that I would go if we needed to go back to paying attention to watering and stuff.
There were two people up in the fairways that mentioned to me that back when we did that last plan, they experienced some pressure issues that were specifically related to the way we were doing. I don't know beyond that how to measure that, but there was.
And where is this at?
Up the top there of De La Cruz.
They always. I know they always
have it, but evidently their comment anyway was that it was magnified by the fact that we were. I don't know any more than that, but I'm sure.
That's the first I heard of it, so I wouldn't be able to speak onto it as to why without knowing what was going on at that particular time. And I don't remember, of course, Dave Herman was here at the time. He was running he was chief plant operator. I was just an operator, and I was not privy to anything. I was more here at 1 a.m. driving around, making sure people were adhering to the schedule. So I can't speak as to why that was like that or not. The item F, the sewer construction standards update. I'm going to let Corey take this one. I apologize. I apologize, sir.
So yeah, you guys all know me. So regarding conservation, if we're going to do it, I'd like you to come up with ideas that are true conservation. To me, if everybody waters 5 minutes a day their lawns, or every other person waters 10 minutes a day every other day their lawns, that's not going to help your tank situation or your daily demand situation. If you water every other day twice as much, the math comes out, you're not conserving any water. So I think it would behoove the district to come up with, you know, the cash for that, cash for grass program, to figure out how to get people to reduce the amount of lawns they have, come up with a tiered pricing structure so that the users who use the most pay the most, and not right now the amount of incremental you pay on your CSD bill for the amount of water you use is so small compared to the whole bill, nobody even notices how much water they use. And I think you should come up with a tiered water payment structure. So if you're using 5,000 gallons a month, you're paying 3x or 4x or 5x the rate of if you're only using 1,000 gallons a month, which is what a house that has good low flow fixtures and conservation and low maintenance bushes and limited lawns will use. And that's the only way you're really going to change people's behavior. So personally, I don't think the other every other day thing will work. And we'll still use just as much water, and I'd rather you guys be a little more aggressive in your water conservation guidelines and tools to enable the community to do what's right, which is use less water overall.
Yeah, and I agree with all that, but my question to him at the last meeting was more related to taking the pressure off of the valve than it was to expanding into a full-fledged conservation plan. You're right. I mean,
but it won't take pressure off getting the valve done if people just water twice as much every other day.
It wasn't not getting the valve done. It was how can we make it to where, because
when it's going to take you a year or a year
well,
and a
no,
half
no, no,
to get
no,
the valve
what,
done.
What I'm saying is we're going to, he wasn't asking can we conserve to not, to do or not do the valve.
No.
It was because it, for every minute that valve is actuating to send more water to Rio Oso, that's sending less water to Van Fleck Tank. And so if you tweak it and adjust it, it can help kind of balance it out a little bit. That was the direction I was going with what I was talking about.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
It was more water use as it related to the performance of the valve and our necessity to, at this point, constantly adjust it manually or go to the automated valve that Joe's proposed.
Okay.
But, you know, I all of that, I mean, you know, the minute you step over 3,000 units, you're into all of that. It's going to be right in front of you because we're going to have to do it.
So
we're going to have a plan.
Put that on your to-do list to come up with. Thank you.
Anything else? Travis?
Okay. The construction standards. Corey had gone through the sewer construction standards and found several discrepancies, we'll just say, and things that need to be changed. So I'll go ahead and let him take it from here.
So in looking at the current CSD standards for construction and new development, it is something, I guess, that's been brought forward before about getting redesigned and corrected and updated, and it was shot down or something happened and didn't go through. Joe has an estimate for it. That estimate being older now is the price rates are off a little bit. Joe might understand a little bit more, but talking to Daryl, we might be able to reduce some of those costs working with Joe and or Daryl, either CSD and myself, Travis and or Pete Regan, try to help alleviate some of the work they have to do to update it. But as you can see on our current website, all these drawings have no date on them. We don't use VCP currently and anymore, and a lot of this is all outdated information on them, so it really does need to be updated for developers and builders, mm-hmm. as we're not holding them to this standard, we're holding them to a current standard, which is not in our drawings on our website.
And Joe needs to redraw all of these drawings and bring them up to standard, yeah,
right.
So if we could get a price for that.
Sure, yeah, we, and again, what Corey's talking about is getting input from staff will reduce our effort going out and getting input we do have a direction that, you know, the district does, that if you don't like the standard, or we don't have a standard for it, use that county standard. Well, some of that county standards don't really apply here. So when we're reviewing development projects, we pull from a lot of different sources, and, you know, I'm sure Mike's over there going, well, what's the standard? That's what we're wanting to develop to. And so we've had fun conversations on what the standard should be, and we're able to get development plans done, but it'd be really nice to have standards that are up to date or current to what we're trying to do for everybody involved. So I can put together a new proposal with Daryl in my office, because you guys have already been talking, and I like the idea of, you know, the district helping with that.
Joel, chat GTP. So you got to know.
I know.
There's got to be a website someplace where you can download.
Yes, and that was part of the entire update.
An entire standard specification plans that's suitable for right. County work, right?
Absolutely. We can ask ChatGPT to do it. You know, grab all these standards and put them in this file for
I
us.
Think
and
somebody's,
put next to
I think other. Somebody's already done that.
Yeah.
I think it's downloading print, but you'll find out when you do.
Yeah, I mean, putting them on CSD, you know, and date them and all that, you know, instead of the standards they come from, you know, we have to modify them. But that research, that's the way I've done them before. I have to go to a bunch of different agencies and get their standards and look at them and go through them and say, I don't like that, or, oh, this looks nice, you know, and we'll take one of those. And it takes a long time to get that to that point where you're actually drawing them, redrawing them. So that service is out there now to do all that gathering.
Okay.
So I told Daryl, we'll figure out how much time you're going to save and when we do this. So, yep.
Comment. What was your original estimate? Do you remember?
I
think it was
in the 34, 60.
It was 64, I believe. Yeah. To do the drawings and the standard specs and the whole thing. So, and that was...
I was going to say, how long ago was that?
Boy, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years. 3 years, I think. Just me thinking... Because I've already forgot a lot about it. So.
It happens. July 2022.
Yeah. July. Oh, that's pretty close. 3 years. I'm losing it, yeah.
65,000.
Anything we need to do here? Beyond what we just did? We're doing it. He's doing it.
We push board to the board and get her approved, I assume, right?
I think I'm well, I need to ask for
a new
you need a new
proposal.
Yeah, you need a proposal.
And
we can bring that, if we have it, we can bring that back to you here. He'll be doing the improvements committee next month. He can bring it back if that's all right.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's urgent.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Any questions on that? Item G, the meter and AMI project. Corey wanted to discuss with the committee the potential of redirecting the meter and AMI tower purchase, and I'll let you take it from here.
So currently we have a CIP approved budget, approximately $260,000 for a census tower and 486 smart points from census. that will, again, only fix or connect 486 homes to a tower that creates an AMI system for CSD. We will still then have approximately 1,900 residents that will have to be converted over to smart points. So we did a cost calculation here, what it would cost CSD to change and not go with the tower. Many concerns with the tower being is it's a radio read versus a cellular read. If the tower goes down, we'll have to read every resident or every meter within a commercial, not within CSD, when the tower goes down, antenna fails, collector fails, or so forth. Sometimes they can get them up and working within a week or two or a couple days. Sometimes it's months. And that means we'd have to manually read all 2,900 plus meters. Without a tower, if we run cellular, if one ends up failing, one fails. The cellular system that I'm looking at, and I tried discussing this with the previous director, is it runs on a cellular system that goes to all services. It doesn't just run through AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile or so forth individually. It actually goes to all of them. They'll find whichever one comes in. And they came out and did a cellular analysis to confirm that we have great readings for all three in the area, that there's more than enough coverage. At the same time, these endpoints actually do a 96-day, I believe, a data log. So it's actually collecting the reads from the meter for 96 days, whether it comes in or not. And then once it will come in, which it should come in every hour, takes a read every 15 minutes, it sends the reads in every hour and dumps into our database so that we can see and analyze the data. So you, when you look at overall cost, if I can talk loud enough, so the tower alone is going to cost CSD $165,000. And then we'll have maintenance of that going down the road to make sure the antennas, the cables, or the towers, you know, structurally sound. Over time, that's just the cost, you know, that's the initial cost, and then we have the maintenance cost. With the cellular system, you don't have the maintenance cost. It's cellular. It's in the ground, it's working. As one dies, we fix it or replace it. Price per endpoint is, right now it's currently $171 for Census, $142 for Neptune. And Neptune's the manufacturer I'm looking at going to. It's well used by many other agencies around with low failure rates. But if I scroll back. Okay. So we can save almost $30 per endpoint running change in one or the other, one being cellular versus the other being radio. At the same time, our software, the annual software fee for Census is going to run us $21,000. Currently, it's only about $8,500. That will go up a little bit, basically go up incrementally as we put in more endpoints. But at the same time, that software fee from Neptune actually covers the cellular costs and the software, which then will also implement a portal for the residents connected on the system so they can actually see their own usage and get warnings and so forth from their system, from a they call it My36. It's a kind of a backdoor into the system so they can see their own usage on demand almost. I know they can see it back. They can see the history of consumption and everything. They can break it down by hours and even further an hour down to the 15 minutes. With Census, we'd have to pay for a third party to actually do that service of the portal. So this would save CSD even more money that we don't have to pay an extra third party to go through another system to have that portal for the residents. And they both, the warranties are the same. Currently, we'd have to run an adapter cord, which that's the cost a little bit higher for that, just to connect to the Census, because Census has a proprietary plug on it. Neptune doesn't charge us any difference whether we use their proprietary plug or we go to what's called a NICOR plug. It's a third-party plug that many agencies use because then it interconnects with other systems. If something happens down the road, we need to change to a different system. It'll work with other systems versus having to buy a proprietary system down the road. And the cost of getting 500 of their smart points and getting connected and working now, we're on a $98,000 versus the $268,000 that we need to get the tower up and running and just connect approximately maybe 1,000 endpoints. It'd be the 486 we could find, and I think there's approximately, my understanding, maybe 600 in the ground now that are considered smart points.
We can still drive by and read all those at this current time, which we do once a month. That's part of the problem with water conservation and analysis that we have at this current time, is we only have a monthly collection of all these reads. With Neptune, we'll have it at the time, at the moment, we'll see it now. And that's where I'd like to try to, I put a hold on census right now, on the cancel the appeal until my three create new appeal if you wish me to go that direction. But at the same time, I'd rather just put the PO to Neptune and order 500, if not 1,000, and still be less money, saving CSD money. I'll have 1,000 endpoints in the ground. We can put them up in Rio Oso, which will help us find leaks and slow flows down in the area we need it most to help for further improvement. You look at the overall cost. This is broke down for actually meter replacement, and you scroll down a little bit. This covers meter replacement and endpoint replacement over time. So you look at, there's a meter dollar. So there's a meter dollar. It shows right now, currently, we pay $260 for census meters. It's $245 for the Neptune meters. So we can actually convert to their meters as we're putting these in as well. As a meter dies, we can swap them out. Not something we have to buy. It's basically budgeted to do so already. As we change out a meter, we just swap it out with a less expensive meter. Does the same thing. It has the same flow rates. But that way, we don't have to buy the patch cable to connect to the new Neptune smart points from Census. They'll plug and play because they already have the Nycor plugs. So it'll save us not only the $15 in difference in meter fee, but it'll save us an additional $40 in a patch cable. But you look at over the cost, this breaks it down to if we replace both meters and endpoints, the total cost of per resident and so forth, and what it would be per month, the difference, and how it would save them down the road as we correct the rates and so forth and implement these, because we have some meters out there that are well over 20 years old, and typically you want to change them every 15 to 20 years, depending on the accuracy of the meter, and we should be testing those when they start hitting about 15 years. So that's something I was hoping to, if I have to bring it back to the improvements committee meeting, or if we can get this to go ahead to the board, if I can get approval to change the funding and actually do a PO for these endpoints through Neptune versus Census and get their system up and running so we can start seeing.
What's the infrastructure required for this new system? Is it a box that's attached to a phone system?
So it's what they call an endpoint, or Census calls it a smart point. That's their name brand. Other than that's an endpoint. It's a box that actually connects to the meter itself. So on the meter, you'll have what they call a register. That's like your odometer of the meter, if you will. So the meter has a register, and on that register, it will have a cable coming off that connects to the endpoint. And the endpoint is literally just a box that either has a cellular signal or a radio signal that then has to go out either to a cell tower or to a tower for a radio receiver.
But where is the data gathered? I get that it's going to cellular.
So with Neptune system, it all goes to cellular and then into their cloud. They actually store it in their cloud system. And then they put it on a portal. It's called a Neptune. My360, I believe, is the residence portal. The other one is, I think, Neptune 360 for our portal. But we have two sides of it that, you know, we can see as a utility operator. We can get in and do different app analysis and so forth to look at where the flows are going and you know, who's using what and when. And then they can look at theirs individually.
And then you can take this, as I understood it from Cecilia, you can take this and drive it directly into Tyler and do your billing?
Correct. So this will integrate right into Tyler, either one. Both Census and Neptune would have to be integrated into our current billing system as if the tower would be put in or if the Neptune would be.
One of the things when I went to that seminar, we're setting the standards for urban water master plans for the next 5 years. 2028, I believe, there's a pretty rigid demand on our ability to monitor non-revenue water. So I don't know where we are now in our ability to do that versus where we would be if we picked either or of these. It seems like, other than the delivery system, they're kind of compatible. But, I mean, is this something that's that much of a priority? I mean, I understand what they're not monkeying around from what I could gather in this presentation they made.
For CSD, this should be a pretty large priority, being one that, you know, the tanks requirements and so forth, and wanting the modeling for Joe. This will actually give him better data for that modeling. The current 2,300 or so endpoints we have in the ground right now were discontinued in 2018, and that's how outdated our system is. And I personally never worked for a system that still uses the old drive-by like this.
Yeah.
For some time.
Does this give us the ability, for example, to do, you said it's like hourly reporting or whatever. It's so, for example, if somebody's got, you know, a giant hole in their 3/4-inch PVC in their irrigation system and is spreading water all over the place, does it give us the ability to pick those kind of things up?
Absolutely. It will give us. We can set it to give us alerts, and we can also, the residents can set it to give themselves alerts on their own system.
So they can, so for example, I'd have access, I can understand internet-wise, I don't know about radio-wise. I could, in conjunction with my Ratio system, I could be looking at this to see if I got emitters that are shooting up in the air or something I can't see that's under the ground that's causing me to lose more water. And I've been there. I mean, I've been, you know, out in the backyard when I've seen this spike in my bill that I know something's leaking. I just don't know what it is and where it is. But it seems to me that's a pretty valuable tool.
For water conservation and helping reduce and also further go help to do our tiered rate system, as hopefully that's what we're going toward.
Yeah. Yeah, what Tom was mentioning, I was thinking in my head what that model looks like, because tiered pricing does two things. It kind of penalizes people who overuse, but it also, if it's effective, it causes a significant loss in revenue. So before you start, you know, before you start pulling the trigger on any of that stuff, it just seems in my head that it would take a pretty sophisticated model to come up with those standards that you can implement in any kind of rate increase you wanted to do.
Well, if it was to create a decrease in revenue, then it would increase our storage capacity.
Yeah,
so it's going to give you twofold, and then that's where we'd come back to the table and do another rate study if need be, if it needed to be increased because somebody reduced enough where it decreased our revenue.
Yeah, I'm not concerned at this point with, you know, how would we react to what we learn. I'm just trying to understand how expansive that system makes it to collect the data and interpret it. You know, where you go from there is another story.
Absolutely. Right now, we have no access as the utilities in to know what's leaking, when it's leaking, until we get a monthly report. That's all we get. Where this, my crew could actually work out there on a daily or a weekly, depending on what, you know, how our schedule is, actually addressing leaks versus monthly right now.
So, and also, this is already an approved CIP project. We're just bringing it here because Corey wanted to adjust it and change value,
save money.
Yeah.
And here we have the cellular expert, Mr. Intel chip designer himself.
So
I'd like to hear your.
By the way, let me clarify. When I say tiered water structure payments, it's just increasing the rates for the higher user. The base usage is already cheap enough that. So don't ever view tiered water pricing as a reduce of money into the this. It's actually raising revenue if you spend more until they conserve.
Yeah, but if you're good at it and you change the behavior, your revenue is going to go down.
Sure.
Okay.
That's what we want.
But Corey is right. Then you do a new rate study and you change your rates to match the revenue.
That's what we want. We want everybody to start conserving so that the general usage goes down then the overall rates go down, and then you guys bump up the rates. And
that way we follow California's guidelines of 2040.
So, okay, so back to this topic at hand. So to me, this is a no-brainer. You get rid of radio and you go cellular all the way. And, you know, what you mentioned with your backyard, I even had in my rental that is sitting empty right now. We had no water for 3 months in a row, and then all of a sudden our water went up from, 700 gallons a month to 5,000 gallons for that month. And I went over to the rental, and I had a toilet that was left open. And if that can come on my cell, I can fix it in a day. I don't need the district involved at all.
Yeah.
If I can just set up on my phone that if my lot uses more than X amount of water any day, send me a ping, send me a text, and then I'll go debug what's happening at my rental and save myself the billing and save you guys all the water. So to me, this is it's already cheap. I would spend more for a cellular network than I would for radio, and this is actually cheaper to do cellular than radio. So to me, this is a no-brainer. Bring it to the board in 2 weeks and get the board vote to approve changing it from a radio to cell, because I think this you shouldn't even have to present as much as you present. You did a great job. Thank you.
So is it to the board, or
is this something
if I don't know, that's a good question.
Because
Tom
it's
says
approved.
It's a no-brainer.
It's already an approved.
So do we need to take it to the board, or can we just tell them to change gears and go to the cellular?
We don't need to change money on it, right?
We don't need to change any money on it.
That's what I was going to ask.
I think that if it's included in the operations improvements report, that would be adequate. That we found a new solution that makes more sense for everybody, and we'll be just moving the money that's already approved over to that.
Okay.
Order.
Yeah. And then next fiscal year, we'll be coming back to get the next
more money.
Right. The next thing. So
my only concern with that, since the first CIP went through, that the request was only for 486 endpoints. This estimate here should be 500 at still less than half. Am I able to do 1,000 or 750? Am I able to increase the amount of endpoints because I'm still under the dollar amount?
Yeah. It seems like he should be able to spend the money as he recommends, right? Because
the money's the money.
Yeah, the money's the money, and I believe in letting the experts, Corey, Travis.
We're just getting better for our buck.
Yeah.
And more.
So, cell phone is the answer.
Yeah.
And Mr. Shuchuk, if you know about cellular, I need to talk to you about something on a side note for the district. That's good to know.
Last case.
Last one. WSC update. The water committee was formed, and we will. I'm going to be talking with Mr. Janko, and I'm going to be reaching out to WSC so that I have an understanding of who's waiting on what or who needs to know what, so that we can get this moving forward.
The last from them was they're working on a draft. They expect it to be the draft report to be completed in the next couple weeks. They're going to give it to us. I will get it out to the committee for review, and then we will meet with them as soon as possible after we have had a chance to look at it.
There it is there.
Okay.
And the draft report's going to tell us where they think the water is. Is there a geological study, do you think?
I'm a little bit confused about what it's going to include, but we'll see when we get it.
Obviously, I think we all want to see where they think the water is.
I don't know if it's a partial for us to get started, or if this is the entire report draft. We'll find out when we see it.
Didn't it say?
Sure.
It said something. It said.
Oh, absolutely.
It said it. If I remember, doesn't it include the testing?
Oh, well, that was an interesting part of the contract that we were looking at. It says that it will close, abandon the test wells. But it didn't say that it was going to make the test well.
You got to kind of make one.
You got to make one to get rid of one.
Yeah, so I mean, if I have to follow.
But I think that's going to be the following step after we get their report. So once the, in my opinion, and I'm not stepping on your toes, once we get the report and we're reviewed on it, review it, and then.
I see it as what was done in 2012. It will get us forward to the bidding process to get some people out here to do it.
Yeah. That's all I got, sir.
And we have Mr. Tom has a comment.
Yeah, so actually I don't have a specific comment on that, but since it was the end of the meeting and the last board meeting we just spent 5 hours at the official board meeting. If you guys remember, it was 5 till 10
o'clock. We don't remember at all.
Yeah. So maybe it's an appeal or a request to the staff or the board members to try to get some better meeting discipline. Put time limits on every agenda topic. You know, even today, having to spend 71 minutes on Bob's topic was a little painful for those of us in the audience. So it should really have been capped at 20, 25 minutes and made a decision and moved on. Decide how long you want your committee meetings to run. I think they should run an hour to an hour and a half, not 2 hours and 11 minutes. And the board meeting should run 2 to 2.5 hours, not 4 to 5, which is what it's been for the last 3 to 4 months. I taught a lot of effective meeting classes at Intel when I was there. And meetings always had a start time and an end time.
What's your rate to teach that class to us, Tom?
Free. Because it saves my time.
That's on the record, right?
Free.
Yay. I'll report that.
Yeah. You got to put that in bold.
You got a minute and 30 seconds left.
So that's my recommendation, and even before the next board meeting, so that we don't have to be here until 10 o'clock come Wednesday, the 16th or whenever it is.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yep. You're here.
Comments? Randy?
I agree with every word that he just said. I'm only disappointed that I wasn't the one to say it.
Okay. And I have nothing, so we are adjourned. 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Oh, Joe, I need to...